Chapter 45. Brain one of these gentry with the club end of his musket, who had eased Desmond of his hat and periwig, his purse, and fine silver-mounted pistols which the dowager gave him, and was fumbling in his pockets for further treasure, when Jack Lockwood came up and put an end to the scoundrel's triumph. Asterisk my mistress, before I went this campaign, sent me John Lockwood out of Walcott, who hath ever since remained with me. H. E. Hospitals for our wounded were established at Blenheim, and here for several weeks Esmond lay in very great danger of his life. The wound was not very great from which he suffered, and the ball extracted by the surgeon on the spot, where our young gentleman received it, but a fever set in next day, as he was lying in hospital, and that almost carried him away. Jack Lockwood said he talked in the wildest manner during his delirium, that he called himself the Marquis of Esmond, and seizing one of the surgeon's assistants who came to dress his wounds, swore that he was Madame Beatrix, and that he would make her a duchess, if she would but say yes. He was passing the days in these crazy fancies, and von Insomnia, whilst the army was singing E Doom for the victory, and those famous festivities were taking place at which our Duke, now made a prince of the empire, was entertained by the King of the Romans and his nobility. His Grace went home by Berlin and Hanover, and Esmond lost the festivities which took place at those cities, and which his general shared in company of the other general officers who travelled with our great captain. When he could move, it was by the Duke of Wurttemberg's city of Stuttgart, that he made his way homewards, revisiting Heidelberg again, whence he went to Mannheim, and hence had a tedious, but easy water journey down the river of Rhine, which he had thought a delightful and beautiful voyage indeed, but that his heart was longing for home, and something far more beautiful and delightful. As bright and welcome as the eyes almost of his mistress, shone the lights of Erich, as the packet came in from Holland. It was not many hours ere he, Esmond, was in London, of that you may be sure, and received with open arms by the old dowager of Chelsea, who vowed, in her jargon of French and English, that he had the air noble, that his pallor embellished him, that he was an Amadis, and deserved a Gloriana, and oh, flames and darts. What was his joy at hearing that his mistress was come into waiting, and was now with Her Majesty at Kensington. Although Mr. Esmond had told Jack Lockwood to get horses and they would ride for Winchester that night, when he heard this news he countermanded the horses at once. His business lay no longer in hands. All his hope and desire lay within a couple of miles of him in Kensington Park Wall. Poor Harry had never looked in the glass before so eagerly to see whether he had the bel air, and his paleness really did become him. He never took such pains about the curl of his periwig, and the taste of his embroidery and point lace, as now, before Mr. Amadis presented himself to Madame Gloriana. Was the fire of the French lines half so murderous as the killing glances from her ladyship's eyes? Oh! Darts and raptures! How beautiful were they! And as, before the blazing sun of morning, the moon fades away in the sky almost invisible, Esmond thought, with a blush perhaps, of another sweet pale face, sad and faint, and fading out of sight, with its sweet fond gaze of affection. Such a last look it seemed to cast as Eurydice might have given, yearning after her lover, when Fate and Pluto summoned her, and she passed away into the shades. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.